Once embarked on a policy, Rome would not abandon it. Now, for these sturdy, staid people who believed in the customs of their ancestors and so on, that's not surprising. But Rome's enemies came to know that. The Romans were not going to give up. They were not going to get tired. They were not going to quit. They would persist. So, certain very basic military notions, borrow and use what works, be flexible, and certain fundamental diplomatic principles, already there in the 4th and 3rd centuries B.C. In conquering the Greeks of southern Italy, Rome came face to face with the Carthaginians. Now, the Carthaginians, remember, an old Phoenician colony on the coast of North Africa, very important commercial people, had a kind of a commercial empire, really, in the western Mediterranean basin, but they were also a fairly formidable military force. Well, the Carthaginians had lent some aid to Rome's enemies during the Pyrrhic Wars. Rome then regarded that as a provocation. Rome regarded that as an unwarranted interference in Rome's own internal business, and therefore fought a series of wars against the Carthaginians. We call these the Punic Wars. Remember, the Phoenicians are the Poeni, the purple people, or the Puni. So, of course, the winners always name the war after the losers. So the Romans called these the Punic Wars. Their wars, you see, not our wars, their wars. We fought wars against them. Well, they fought wars against the Carthaginians over more than a century. The first, from 264 to 241 B.C., the second, from 218 to 201 B.C., and the third, from 149 until 146 B.C. Now, Carthage was a very significant power. This was a big deal for the Romans to take on a power like Carthage. One by one, little by little, marching up and down the Italian peninsula, that was no small thing. But the Romans were now really taking on one of the important powers in the Mediterranean world. We may very well say that some conflict of interest was almost inevitable once Rome became dominant in Italy. The Carthaginians were the other great power in the western Mediterranean. These guys were going to knock heads at some point. What was the exact trigger mechanism? Well, the idea that the Carthaginians had helped the Greeks during the Pyrrhic Wars in the 270s. Now, the Punic Wars are, of course, full of wonderful stories. Some of the most familiar stories from Roman history are wrapped up in these wars. You know, this is the one where, in the beginning, Rome had no navy. Very small commercial navy, but really no navy. And the sources tell us of Romans sitting on logs down on the beach practicing rowing while boats were being built, you see? So the Romans were learning how to row ships before they had any ships built. This is the war where we meet Hannibal, the great Carthaginian general, who mounts an invasion of Italy in the Second Punic War by coming over the Alps. Rome had a navy by then. He couldn't sail freely across the sea. So he comes, marches up through Spain, across southern France, down over the Alps and into Italy, and brings elephants with him. One must imagine what elephants, how elephants struck the population of Italy in the 3rd century B.C. Faced with a large enemy, with a large army, and with a superb general against them, the Romans developed a new kind of military tactics. Fabius Cunctator, Fabius the Delayer, the Staller, fought and harassed the Carthaginians for several years. The Romans basically fought a guerrilla war. Instead of this time sending out their legions, which would almost certainly have been defeated by the superior Carthaginian forces, the Romans fought a guerrilla war. Finally, however, the Romans did sustain a tremendous defeat at Cannae in 216, probably the single worst military defeat the Romans ever suffered in 1,000 years of Roman history. And yet, the Romans rallied, rebuilt their military, and by the year 204, took the war to Africa, when Scipio Africanus invaded the Carthaginian territories, and finally, by 201, the Carthaginians had surrendered. The third of the Punic Wars was produced very largely by Cato the Elder. Cato the Elder had a habit of coming into the Roman Senate and holding a fig, a fresh fig, and saying that this fig had just been plucked off a tree in North Africa. It reminds one of certain figures in American public institutions talking about Cuba. Anyway, he's talking about Carthage just across the sea and ended all of his speeches in the Senate. Remember what he was talking about? He ended his speeches, Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. And finally, Cato's perseverance paid off. The Romans did indeed invade North Africa, defeat the Carthaginians, and this time they destroyed their city and plowed their fields with salt. The idea being that no one would live there any longer. So the Carthage that rose again later, that's there now, is actually slightly displaced from where original Carthage had been.